Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Friday Tipping Postcast. I'm Maddie Pleyel, joined in the Racing Post studio by Graham Rodway, our top tipster. And we have Mark Boylan on the line as well. Merry Christmas, one and all. Hope you had a profitable Boxing Day at least. Some cracking action. Don't want to go too far deeply into it, but it's worth a quick word of reflection before we go on to Saturday's action. We have the likes of Epatant, Clandazobo, Notebook, Fahine. Who could forget about him? Mark, before we get involved in the action at Newbury, just a quick highlight from you yesterday.
Had to be Fahine. God, that was absolutely deadly. Like, I mean, if you didn't enjoy that, you're in the wrong game. It's to see him there and to see the life in him over the final two fences. And just, you know, for all the talk that's gone on over the last little while about whether he should go over fences, you know, when he's going to be collecting his pension and all that sort of stuff, he absolutely proves them all wrong. And I was in the camp a few years ago over hurdles when I thought that a Morgiana win would have even been unlikely. So to see him doing this, it's just incredible. And Patrick Mullins' Frankie Dettori dismount was also an enjoyable highlight as well as the festive period. But no, if you didn't enjoy that, there's something wrong. Sam Crowe, I'm disappointed, but think that's kind of the way it's going with him, unfortunately. Fahine, deadly.
Yeah, must admit, I really enjoyed that. It was just fantastic to see a real proper highlight. G-Rod, any sort of pointers going forward? What did you take out of yesterday's action?
Yeah, it was an absolutely mad day, wasn't it? I was just sitting there, I was doing the live tipster, you know, for a Racing Post, and it was just one great race coming up after the other, and I was sitting there going, oh, trying to struggling to keep up. Obviously, Epatant at Kempton really threw a hat right into a wide-open champion hurdle picture. I mean, we all went into that race really looking for something to come up and stamp their authority and make themselves the leading candidate for the champion hurdle. I do think we did see one there in the shape of Epatant. She really was very impressive. The King George was a strange race, wasn't it? Because we built it up as the big clash between Surname and Lost in Translation. And as it is, I think Surname definitely didn't stay the trip, and Lost in Translation has not run his race. Mm. I mean, he's just not turned up. And as a result, the race has ended up falling in the lap of last year's winner, Clandazobo, who was very impressive all the same and absolutely bolted up. But there is that nagging doubt in the back of your mind. You think, well, he's beaten a couple of non-stayers. Surname didn't stay. And his main danger from a stamina perspective, Lost in Translation, hasn't run his race. So I certainly wouldn't be clambering to take, I think, 7-1 for the Gold Cup they were offering Clandazobo straight after the race, even though he was very impressive. And, of course, that's two King Georges for him now. So although you tend to look at him and you knock him quite a lot because you say, well, this happened, this happened, this happened. Mm. He's compiling quite an impressive CV now, isn't he Clandazobo?
Yeah, he certainly is. I mean, Paul Nicholls is an absolute master, isn't he? And he did say there wasn't going to be a lot between them. We will move on then, anyway, to the Saturday ITV action. The first race we're going to look at is the 150. It's the Betway Heed Your Hunch Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles, 4 furlongs. And I'm going to be your odds compiler person for today, and I'll spin us through them. One for Rosie leads the market at 4-1. We have Severano at 5-1, Dorking Boy 11-2, Now Look at Me 13-2, Colonial Dreams 15-2, and 9-1 Bar. Mark, just kick us off with your fancy in this one. It's quite an interesting race to start off with.
Yeah, for sure. One that I kind of struggled to get a handle on, but I thought maybe Severano a little bit out of the blue maybe last time. I kind of had him as a horse maybe that had his ceiling. But he just looks to now be kind of improving and improving and improving. And when the horses go on rolls like this, sometimes it's kind of hard to predict when it's going to stop. You know, he beat a couple of nice starts in behind. Like, I know Nicky Henderson's horse is pretty well thought of, and Colin Tizard's one, Fascinovic. Like, he has some smart bumper form to his name too. And I just thought here straight away afterwards, I think the owner mentioned that the Chalo could even be a possibility. To see him now lined up in a handicap of something like 1-3-4 around that sort of territory, I just thought he was interested, and just if he continued his progression, he could be one of those that rocks up here and can take another step up with just momentum behind him. So for me, Severano, but tough race.
It is a tough race, G-Rod. We were talking beforehand, Severano, a horse we both backed last season, and I've been a bit surprised by him this year, but he keeps winning.
Yeah, we were saying, just like Mark was saying there, you know, a very difficult race to kick off, isn't it? We've got a bunch of unexposed, lightly raced handicappers. And, yeah, Severano was a horse who essentially last season just disappointed me because he went through his races very well, looked like he was going to win them, and then kept finding a way to get beat. But as it is this season, he's going through his races well, and he's finishing them off, and he, you know, he's doing the business now. So, yeah, he could well be thrown in. But you could say the same about several others in the race. And the one that I came down on was Now Look At Me for Tom George, because this one ran second last time at Fontwell behind a horse that I quite like called Pazio, who's trained by, I think, Oliver Sherwood.
Yeah.
And pushed that horse all the way to the line. So I quite like the strength of that form. And I thought that Now Look At Me had the potential to improve. And he's racing off just 10 stone three here. So he's going to be getting £10 off of Severano. But it's certainly not a confident selection. It's one of the most difficult races of the day, I thought.
Yeah, difficult, but it should produce a pretty good winner. We'll move on to the 2.25 then. Betway Mandarin Handicap Chase over a long distance. This one, 3 mile, 1 furlong and 214 yards. Historically, a pretty good contest this, but in recent years, the quality has dwindled somewhat. Cobalobo heads your market at 7-2. Bought Before Lunch, 4-1. Copperhead, 9-2. Anthony, 7-1. Moving in Style, also 7-1. Strong Pursuit, 8. Polydora, 8. And 12-1 bar. Again, G-Rod, as I said, it was a very good race this once upon a time, but still some progressive horses in this.
Yeah, could throw up a smart type. And Copperhead was the one that I thought was the most interesting runner for Colin Tizard. Last season, when he was over hurdles, just a big gangly thing. And I thought, when this thing gets over fences, he's going to be a different horse. And I backed him first time up in a novice chase at Chepstow. He just shaped as though he might have needed it. And it was quite a hot race as well that he contested that day. And then he switched to handicaps last time at Wincanton, and he really did bolt up. But he's gone up £9 for that. But he just has that look of a lightly race, Colin Tizard improving, young chaser, going to really stay very well. They usually do, don't they? I thought that Copperhead was the likely winner. It's worth also mentioning Strong Pursuit, who runs for Philip Hobbs. Yeah. I backed this horse at Sandown last season on his reappearance on soft ground, and he ran well for a really long way and then just got tired on his first run for a long time. And then he went off favourite for a race over the course and distance last time and just completely blew out, pulled up. Maybe he found that race coming too soon after a long after that hard race back on his reappearance. Now, he's back from a long break. He's obviously not the easiest to train, but I'm pretty sure there's plenty of ability there, and I think that he could be ahead of his mark too. So I'll be quite confident with Copperhead with Strong Pursuit, is it called? Yeah, Strong Pursuit as the main danger.
Okay, that's interesting. I must admit, I had a quick flick through this. I thought Anthony was quite interesting for Gary Moore. Didn't show an awful lot at Sandown recently, but is very well handicapped on old form. So not so much a selection for me, but I thought he was worth a mention. Mark, who did you come down on?
Yeah, Anthony's a horse that I have a soft spot for too, in that sense. But I think I'm going to side with Graham here. I like Copperhead an awful lot. I think up £9 is a question mark that you have to answer. But I just think to step up to this sort of trip, I think he went up to 3-1 last time. I just like the way he went about his business. You know, he has that kind of a Mr. Malarkey look about him. You know, he just looks like one that can continue to go through the grades here. And he could end up being quite a useful staying handicap chaser, I think. So for me, I'd side with him. But again, it's one of them sort of races where something with a bit of backclass like an Anthony could pop in it. But Copperhead for me.
Yeah, okay, so both plumping for the progressive youngster. The 3 o'clock then is the feature. It's the Betway Challo Novices Hurdle, a grade one. Again, this race over the 2 mile four, and has been won by some fantastic horses. It's been a good stepping stone, and one of the best British novices that we've seen this season in Time Hill heads the market. He's won 2 grade 2s this season. He's 4-5 currently. Enrillo, the Winter Novices Hurdle winner, 11-4. The Cashel Man, 5-1. Stick With Bill, 10-1. And Eclair Surf at 14-1. G-Rod, Time Hill, I mean, you can't really knock what he's done so far this season, and his form from last season's working out well as well.
Yeah, he's only been beaten, I think, by three horses. One of them was Master Debonair, who obviously won the Kennel Gate at Ascot last week. And the other two were Envoy LN, who obviously has won the Royal Bond, and Blue Sari, who's a red-hot favourite for the Grade 1 at Leopardstown today. So we'll see how that one goes. But obviously that form stacks up really well, and Time Hill's come out and looked pretty unbeatable in two runs around Cheltenham so far. Stamina appears to be strong suit. That would be the one thing you would say about him. And he was a bit sloppy with his hurdling around Chepstow first time, I thought, even though he won that. He's a short enough price here, isn't he, considering...
Do you think? So you'd be more on the sort of lay side than the back side?
I think it's a really difficult one because I think he is the most exciting horse in the race, and he's possibly the most exciting novice hurdler in Britain.
Yeah.
But he's priced accordingly, isn't he? You look at the race and you go, do you want to back him at odds on? It's just, you know, just get the alarm bells ringing in my head a little bit. Don't get me wrong. I think he's the most likely winner, but I'm just not sure I want to take that price, especially the Cashel man was very impressive last time at the course. Absolutely bolted up from Mr. Pumblechook, albeit it was a bit disappointing last time. But that was in a, yesterday, that was in a handicap last time. And the Cashel man may be question marks over the ground.
Okay.
But it was testing enough that day at Newbury, possibly last time. I don't know. It's just one of those races. I found it really, really difficult from a punting perspective. I won't be betting in it. I'll just be watching.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will probably share those views. I think Time Hill, for most, is going to seem a class apart. Is that the case with you, Mark?
Yeah, I think he'll win. But it's not a huge knock yourself to have opinion, no. But for me, I think the standard of novices that we're seeing in Ireland, you know, hoping and bias aside, I just think it's a step above it. I think your Envoy Allen's even easy work on the 26th was quite impressive down at Limerick, latest exhibition. I just think they're a step ahead of what we're seeing here. Like in Rillo, good. I think I can see in Rillo and Time Hill maybe softening each other up a little bit and Time Hill powering on in the final furlong. And you're getting the job done, kind of, you're following the footsteps, I suppose, of similar winners, like a Fingal Bay sort of horse. But for me, I can just see this kind of, he's gonna win. He's not going to be overly flashy. He might pull clear in the final 100 yards. He'll shorten for the Albert Bartlett. But for me, there's more stronger test line ahead. So he'll probably win. Not my sort of price to get involved at. But for Cheltenham, he wouldn't be on my mind. The only British novice really on my mind for Cheltenham at this stage, at that sort of echelon, will be the big breakaway. I think he's deadly.
I think the thing that I don't know what Mark thinks, but could this be tactical? You know, to me, Time Hill just he screams of horse with loads of stamina, and there's only a few in this, and I'm worried it could get messy. That's my worry.
It always can't it? When there's a small field and novices like this, that's always a risk. But I'm sure plenty of people will be hoping Time Hill, Albert Bartlett down the line. Would you say over the Ballymore?
I would say so. I would have thought that would have been the way to go. Philip Hobbs won the Cello in 2011 with Fingal Bay.
Mm.
And I think that they were planning to go to Baring Bingham or whatever it's called, you know, the one on the Wednesday over 2.5 with him.
The Ballymore, yeah.
The Ballymore now. So, I don't know. That's up to Philip Hobbs, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Anyway, it could be crucial. The 3:35 is the final race we're going to look at from Newbury. It's the Betway Novices Handicap Chase, over 2 miles, 6 furlongs, 93 yards. And Tidal Flow, a absolutely prolific winner last time. He took to 21 lengths. He's 11-4. Cateson, second at Exeter, 5-1. Morning Vicar, the same price. Diablo de Sivla, 8-1. And it's 10-1 bar. Did you have a strong view on this one, G-Rod?
I thought that Diablo de Sivla was worth a bet in this one because I've had my eye on him for a while because he's transferred over to Gary Moore's yard this season.
Yeah.
He is well handicapped on the best of his form last season when he ran solid races at Sandown and Exeter, and he bounced back to form last time at Plumpton. He was beaten comprehensively by Champagne Court, but that's quite a useful Champagne Court.
He is, yeah.
And Diablo de Sivla caught the eye doing some good late work. Now, that was over 2.5, and we're going up to 2 miles, 6.5 here. So I think the extra trip will suit Diablo de Sivla. And it just strikes me as the sort of horse that Gary Moore does well with. You know, he's required this horse from, I think it was Nick Williams or someone like that last season. And he does well with these sorts of recruits. I'll be surprised if Gary Moore can't get one decent prize out of Diablo de Sivla this year, and this might well be it.
Yeah, he was interesting as a youngster, wasn't he? So he's clearly got some ability. Mark, who took your eye in this?
I'm a huge fan of Tidal Flow, to be honest with you. I think he's made for this sort of test. And even I can't get it out back of my mind, can't stop thinking about 21, his novice hurdle, and he's beaten the likes of Downtown Getaway, Diamond Dimash. I think Fonsanto was down the field. Harambe was in there as well. There's some really nice horses. And just, you know, attitude to die for, you know. And I thought it was just nice to see him put it all together last time over fences. Okay, it was a good opportunity for him. He's taken advantage of it well. He's up £7, but I just think he's going to be better than 144. He arrives here, he's only six. He's looking like one of these, just has more improvement in him. I can just see him take another step up the notch and up the grade and just going on and being a quite useful novice this season in terms of this sort of test. You know, he can carry weight and Richard Johnson's bred him as well, so obviously he's a horse that means an awful lot to him. So to be honest, I'm a big fan of the horse from day one. I was disappointed at Warwick last year when he got beat. He was just over the top, but high hopes for him. Tidal Flow for me.
Yeah, I certainly see where you're coming from there. He's a very brave horse, isn't he? And he's clearly got a lot of stamina. That's his strong suit. So Tidal Flow for Mark. We'll move over to Leopardstown now then, and in with another Grade 1. The 2 o'clock, it's the Frank Ward Memorial Hurdle over 3 miles. And Bacardi's the Liss Mullen Hurdle winner is your market leader at 7-4. We have Apples Jade, who's won this for the last 2 years at 9-4. You know what I mean, Harry, 7-2. Penhill, 5-1. And 20-1 bar. Interesting sort of division this year, Mark, because Apples Jade, she's just not really shown her form. Can you see her bouncing back at all, or do you think it's Bacardi's to lose?
Well, I've been on the record for a number of years as Apples Jade's biggest fan, but I'm struggling to even keep the faith at this stage myself, to be honest. I've seen she was out hunting lately. I saw a photo of her online, I think around the Christmas there, of her doing that, just trying to sweeten her up, I suppose. And I think they're just trying anything at all to get her back to what she was. I just don't know. I think I was watching back. I love the racing TV when they show all the festivals back to back and all the racing. I watched back that entry, the Stairs Hurdle, just before the Grand National, and that race was such a grueler. It was just, you could almost see that sucking the life out of her with a view to this season, and I just have concerns about it. And to be honest, coming into Christmas, I was asked my best bet for Christmas on a couple of occasions, and I gave it as Bacardi's, and that was with Benny Dew in the field. So to see her as an absentee this morning, I was absolutely over the moon. And look, I just think, you know, initially after watching the Hatton's Grace, I had my doubts over the standard of the form, but just I'm starting to come around to the Honeysuckle angle, and I just think you have a horse here that has been a second to Honeysuckle in a Hatton's Grace, Hammered Apples Jade, who seems out of form, and he's coming up against here, you know, Penn Hill, who is unreliable, he's looking vulnerable at the minute. Kilda Vic is a shadow of him, form herself. Dimash Portois, this is surely an afterthought after going over fences. Arkrish has no business being here on handicap chase sort of form. And then you have, you know what I mean, Harry, he's going to be 12 next week. He's beaten 25 lengths at Newbury. For me, Bacardi is absolutely rock solid. And I just think he's turned a bit of a corner this season. They haven't tried to mess around with him over fences and trying to get him to do it. They've realised that's not his bag at all. He's a staying hurdler. And I think he could be a player in the Stairs Hurdle in March. And, you know, for me, he's absolutely banker material. He's probably my best bet of the Christmas still.
Okay, so strong words from Mark there, and off the back of that, is 7-4 a big price?
I'm not convinced. I backed Bacardi's when he beat Apples Jade first time up, because I just felt like Mark that she'd kind of had a few hard races and hadn't shown her best form, and she was long odds on first time up, and Bacardi's was a fair price to beat her, and I was a little bit disappointed with him last time. Now, obviously, it depends on how good you think Honeysuckle is.
Yeah.
Now, if you think Honeysuckle is the second coming, or she's very, very good, and she does look very good, you know, you take nothing away from her, she's won virtually everything that she's been put in front of her, then you would be quite happy to back Bacardi's here against these two. I just, in the back of my mind, just not convinced that she's an absolute superstar. She might well change my mind in time. So, as a result, I couldn't back Apples Jade because, obviously, she just appears to have gone.
She's only seven, but she's been racing since she was 3 or 4. And do you think that can take its toll on a horse like her?
It's funny, I was going to ask Mark like what he thought about why she's just gone, but he pretty much explained his reasoning. Maybe she had a hard race in that race at Aintree, but the engine does appear to have just fallen out, sadly, for the minute. Maybe Gordon Elliott can weave some magic and get her back to her best. And if she comes back to her best, she'll win this easily, obviously. But not on what we've seen so far. So I'm going to take a flyer on Penn Hill coming right back to his best. We obviously know that he's an absolute top-class horse on his day.
Yep.
He's won the Stayers Hurdle. And I just think he's got potentially a class edge if Willie Mullins can get him back to his best. Now, obviously, he was absolutely rotten the first time out, finished last, showed absolutely nothing. But I just wonder if he maybe needed that run. So I'm going to give Penn Hill another chance.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse, isn't he? Former Stayers Hurdle winner who's had a lot of problems. Fragile horse, but as you say, plenty of ability on his day. The 3-10 now, we're going to get some Gold Cup clues here, surely. The Savills Chase, another Grade 1, and again over 3 miles this time. Over the fences. And Ken Boy, last year's winner, we get to see him after a whole sort of debate over his ownership, now running in different colours, obviously, for Willie Mullins. Paul Townend jocked up. He's 13-8. Presenting Percy, really good comeback from him in the John Durkin third. He's at 100-30. Road to Respect, Down Royal winner once again. He's always good at this time of the season. He's 9-2. Delta Works 6-1. Belltail 10-1. Monoly 16s and 20-1 bar. A really cracking race this, Mark. How do you sum it up? Do you think it'll be another one for Ken Boy?
Yeah, look, sure. Obviously, hugely progressive last year. Just really, I think the end of season performance at Aintree nearly impressed me more than Punchestown, because I think at Punchestown, Albin Fole was just over the top. He didn't look himself to me. And obviously, he'll forever be remembered for what he did with Ruby Walsh on that brilliant day at Punchestown. But I just think here we're forgetting about Road to Respect. Like, he's coming in here off the back of a really, really strong performance up at Down Royal. And a lot of Latin beating the King George winner now, albeit it's coming at a time where Nicholls, I think he had statistically, in terms of strike rate, one of his weaker October-November periods, or early November-October periods. And Clandys Obo is known to come on for the run, I suppose, when you judge on last year's form. But for me, Road to Respect is arriving here. Last season, the ground, absolutely, it just... I think Noel Meemy might describe it as a nightmare, even something along those sort of lines. Like, he's, I think at the run at Christmas here before going on to the Irish Gold Cup, it really, that was the one I think that took its toll. Because in the Irish Gold Cup, I was on a preview panel for Cheltenham with Sean Flanagan, and he just mentioned his jumping was just disappointing, but he wasn't letting himself down on the ground. It was almost like he got a fright nearly the time before, and he just wasn't allowing himself to do it. And he still gets close to Bells Hill in a great duel. He wasn't disgraced in the Ryanair, but I just think now he's gone from a horse, I suppose, that varies in terms of ground of what he wants. But I just think now, off the back of a confidence high after going from Down Royal, he's just a forgotten horse here. And maybe one at a price, maybe Monalee could run well at 16-1. We had a press morning with Henry de Bromhead a few weeks ago, and he was keen to stress positives in terms of the run in the Clonmel Isle behind Duvan, saying that at the weights, if Duvan was back to his best, as the market seemed to imply, that, you know, Monalee had a very, very tough task in his hands. And so it proved to be. He said he expects him to improve massively from that. And I suppose the way the race unfolded in terms of hanging on to Duvan's coattails, whether to know whether you go with them or whether you hang back, and then he just took a blow at the top of the hill and just tired from there. So they're expecting plenty of improvement. He could be value at 16s each way. But for me, Road to Respect is just a little bit forgotten here. Hope presenting Percy runs a big one. What do you think of him?
Yeah, it's a really interesting race, isn't it? I mean, Road to Respect, as you mentioned, probably another one of those horses who doesn't quite get the credit he deserves. And Monalee, I think I agree with you. He looked like he just blew up last time. G-Rod, I mean, Mark's asking, what do you think of presenting Percy first off?
Yeah, tough horse to call, isn't he, Mark? I mean, what do you reckon? I mean, I've always thought that he wanted better ground, but he has got plenty of form on soft. And it's just that he went for that strange old prep, didn't they, last year, where they waited and waited and waited, and then he was a bit disappointing in the Gold Cup.
Injured,
and,
wasn't he, in the end?
Yeah, and then he finished third first time out. It was a bit disappointing there. So I don't know what to make of him.
You were disappointed with that third, were you? I thought quite a lot of people saw a bit of encouragement in it.
I thought that was a grand run, to be honest, Jane, the John Durkin. I would have been happy with that. One worry I'd have is that he could bounce. You know, he's been in for a while, I think, and he obviously, he's came back from the Gold Cup, had a little bit of a procedure, I think, or something along those lines after it. He wasn't right physically. But, you know, for me, I just worry it was a big performance in over a trip that wasn't his. You know, he needs further than 2.5 for sure. And I thought there were positives to take from it, but I'm just a little bit worried now that he's more of an Irish Gold Cup horse for me than this right now. I'd rather him in February.
I just felt that race, I was a bit disappointed with Min. I know that Min won, but I thought he made very hard work of it and was still able to beat them, you know.
Yeah.
And then Hardline finished second. Now, I know Hardline's got bits and pieces of form. I just felt that the form maybe wasn't as solid as it could have been. There's a few complete flyers in there, and they're like presenting Percy one of them, Delta Work. I mean, what do we make of him? He was absolutely brilliant when he won at Punchestown Festival last year. After the race in the RSA, pretty much every judge I knew was saying, this is one of the strongest RSAs we've ever seen. The time's fantastic. And this season, the horses that ran in it haven't really lit up.
No, not seen Top of the Game, of course.
We haven't seen Top of the Game. Santini made hard work of beating Now Begins. He Delta Work was massively disappointing behind, was it Road to Respect?
Yep.
First time up. But, I mean, if he came back to his best, he'd be a runner. I just think we're sitting here waiting for a horse to absolutely light up the Gold Cup picture. And obviously the one that could do it is Kenboy. He was superb last season. I was very impressed with him at Aintree. He just winged around there and he was so fluent.
Yeah.
And he was very impressive when he won this race last year. I'm not sure he's a betting prospect for me at 7-4, 13-8. But I just think if there is a real superstar in the race, if there is a proper Gold Cup horse in the race, if there's a proper Gold Cup horse in Britain and Ireland now, after Lost in Translation's disappointment in the King George and obviously Surname not staying and Clandys Obo, but we all know that he probably is going to fall short in the Gold Cup. If there's one horse now that can come and light it up and take over that mantle from Lost in Translation, then I think it could be Kemboy with a good run here. And like Mark as well, I was going to throw up Monoli as an each way shout if you wanted to back horse each way at a big price against Kemboy. But I just hope that we're going to see a star performance, one that we can really get excited about with the Gold Cup coming from Kemboy.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will agree with you there. He showed sparks of brilliance last season, didn't he? So hopefully he can return even better. ITV are also racing at Leicester tomorrow. We have racing at Lingfield, Catterick and Limerick. Any other selections, Mark, that you want to throw into the ring?
Jeez, there's too many horses that I had the look of on Saturday. God, Leopardstown was absolutely brilliant. I think 2A per me is probably the one for me as the standout. In the Pretemps qualifier, that's a 12.50 at Leopardstown. He was second at Navan in a competitive graded handicap hurdle, and he was out of the handicap then. He's so well in over hurdles, and I just think he's going to sharpen up a whole pile for it. You know, I think he's 1.55 over fences, 1.27 over hurdles. It just makes sense, and you know, he could be a real player come Cheltenham time for the Pretemps as well. So he's a standout for me. Canardier is one, the 1.25 at Leopardstown. He was going to play a major part when he came down at Navan. I think he can gain compensation. I think Alaho is against him, but he lacks that same experience over fences. So Canardier for me, I'll take him. And then in the bumper, Fernie Hollow, he was one there now that he's just come. There was a lot of talk about him before his bumper debut and just looked green as grass. And I think he'll improve a bundle for it. He's actually high in the champion bumper betting, and that'll tell you a lot about what they think of him, I assume. But Fernie Hollow in the 3.40 at Leopardstown as well. They're my three.
Okay, fantastic. I know that latter horse, Fernie Hollow, there's been some buzz about him for quite a while. G-Rod, what else are you looking at? Going to be backing anything at Lingfield, Catterick or Limerick tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, like Mark, this time of year, I just end up having loads of bets. You know, there's just so many great races going off one after the other. So I'll quickly try and spin through these ones as fast as I can. 12.05 Newbury. I'll be backing Vienna Colt for Nigel Twiston Davis. It was impressive when winning at Foss Less. You stick behind Floressa and Silver Forever at the track. I think that's quite strong form. Now, last time out was disappointing at Bangor, but that was on really heavy ground. I don't think she would have been suited by that. So I think Vienna Forever can bounce back in the 12.05 at Newbury. The opener at Leopardstown, the 12.15. I'm quite interested in Joseph O'Brien's runner, Fun Light, who I think is running in the same colours as, or similar colours to what Fakir Duderis was running in before, purchased by JP McManus last year. And I just thought that this one could improve significantly for his debut at Ferrias, finished seventh down the field. But yeah, I'm expecting a huge amount of improvement from Fun Light in the 12.15 at Leopardstown. The 12.40 back at Newbury in Britain, where I fancy Kilpin. This is another Nigel Twiston Davis runner. It's never run before, but it's quite well related to some decent types over hurdles, and I think that it could make up into a smart type. And I like the fact that it's got German pedigree as well. Always says that to me that they would handle plenty of cut in the ground. So that's Kilpin in the 12.40. Then the 2.10 at Lingfield, Arabic Culture, top of the weights for Grant Chewer. It's all started back to when it won at Wolverhampton, I think, God knows how long ago, it was over a year ago. Very impressive, and it's just really turned it on in the last few starts. Was very impressive when winning last time. So that's Arabic Culture in the 2.10. The 3.15 at Leicester.
We're all day. I need to check my imaginary watch. Keep going.
3.15 at Leicester. Bally Ellis, another one for Nigel Twiston Davis. So I'm hoping it's going to be a good day for him. This is one of the more interesting ones because I backed and tipped Aintree My Dream last week at Ascot. Mm-hmm. And Aintree My Dream ran very, very well to finish third at 20-1, and we were rewarded with our each way money.
Fantastic.
Now that day, Aintree My Dream was ridden by Jordan Naylor, and he's ridden Aintree My Dream twice on his last two starts. But yeah, he isn't on Aintree My Dream in this race. Kevin Jones rides Aintree My Dream, and Jordan Naylor now rides Bally Ellis, the one that I'm tipping for Nigel Twiston Davis. I find it hard to believe that he won't have had the choice, and I thought that Aintree My Dream might have a very strong chance in that race. So the fact that Jordan Naylor's now riding Bally Ellis, that was enough to sort of swing the balance in Bally Ellis's favour. And finally, in the 3.45 at Leicester, Milton Harris trained runner. His horse is generally like testing ground, and it's going to be, heavy, very testing at Leicester, away for slates, First time out for Milton Harris off a long layoff. This one loves testing ground, and I think might be fully tuned up first time the headgear's on, so that suggests it might be.
Time is that?
That's the 3:45 at Leicester away for Slates.
Fantastic, thanks. I couldn't live myself down there without making sure we got those times. Bruce would not be happy with me. Right, we'll take a quick break now before we look ahead to Sunday's Irish action.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 80+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this tipping postcast then. Plenty of tips so far and some more to come. We're going to look ahead to Leopardstown and the Grade 3. It's the Advent Insurance Irish EBF Mayor's Hurdle to start us off with for Sunday. It's 1:20 and Cheltenham Festival winner Eglantine de Soy is one of interest in here. No betting just yet. But Stormy Island should be a pretty tough competitor. Mark, who did you have on top in this?
Yeah, Stormy Ireland is very solid, and I suppose Willie's stranglehold in this race, it's probably going to continue here. I think it's for you're not allowed to run here if you're a Grade 1 winning mare. So she has won lots of different graded races, but it looks like a good opportunity for her in truth. To me, I think the value in the race could be My Sister Sarah. I just thought she ran nicely last time at Thurles. She was second to El File, but I think she's a couple of pounds better off, and only 3 pounds better off. And this is over an extra half a mile, and that's absolutely going to suit her down to the ground. She was a good winner at the Punchestown Festival in a competitive handicap hurdle, and I just think that she's one that could be more upwardly kind of progressive compared to some of these that have kind of found their level, and I suppose a couple of them have been a little bit disappointing. So for me, I'd just take a chance on her, and it wouldn't be the first time that one of Willie's second strings or third strings popped up in a race like this. So My Sister Sarah, a speculative one, but full respect for Stormy Ireland.
Okay, fantastic. She could be perhaps a bit of a bigger price than My Sister Sarah. G-Rod.
Yeah, I thought Stormy Island would probably win. She's one of my favourite mares in Ireland, actually, because she's such an uncomplicated type. And you stick her out in front and she jumps generally quite well. And she's tough and genuine. And I just think she's the sort of horse that she's definitely going to run to a certain standard. And it's going to take a smart performance to beat her. And I like being with that sort of type. You know, I know that she's going to go out there. I know she's uncomplicated. She's a bit like the solid option, yeah, but I like the way she's ridden, you know. She's aggressively ridden, she stays well, she's tough, yep. She's genuine, she'd be the one for me.
Okay, nice and simple then for G-Rod. The 1:55, now this could be an absolute cracker. It's the Neville Hotel's Novice Chase, a Grade 1. Over the 3 miles, and we've, again, not got any betting, but I'll just run you through them. Battle Over Doyen, of course, a fantastic chasing prospect. He's 2 from 2. Carefully Selected, he won on debut last time for Willie Mullins, another bright prospect. Champagne Classic, a Grade 1 winner, really, really sort of improving his CV with age now. He's back on a winning run. Manella Indo was behind Lorena on debut at Goran. That was a really good effort. Multiple Grade 1 winning novice last season. You'd expect him to come on for that. And the likes of Lord Schnitzel and Manella Fair, Speak Easy, make up the field. Mark, I mean, you said earlier about how you think the Irish novice hurdlers are stronger than the British. I mean, this is looks pretty strong for novice chasers, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, this is brilliant. This will be some race. This is going to be very informative, I suppose. I'm a huge Battle Over Doyen fan, and I think that 3 miles is exactly what he needs. Last time at Punchestown, they bypassed a lot of fences, and he's a big horse. He's gorgeous to look at, and you just get the impression that it didn't suit him having to kind of nearly weave in and out, and it probably just didn't seem the best effect. But in the same breath, he still beat a 1:50 rated horse very comfortably, and there's a 1:46 rated horse in third. So the form is it makes sense there. And I just think that the rating that he can run to is probably superior to what some of these can do at this stage of their career. Carefully Selected, I wasn't mad about his jumping now at Fairy House. Now, he got a little bit better as it went on. I know he made a mistake, I think second last or third last, but he got in a bit of a better rhythm approaching that mistake, so to speak. But for me, he just needs to brush up. And this fella has a couple of runs behind him over fences, and he could punish him. And, you know, Champagne Classic is probably the biggest danger, I'd say to him. You know, although Discorama hasn't really boosted the form of his Wexford win. He did win very comfortably. You just get the impression with him it's going to be 4 miler orientated this season for him. And Manella Indo, geez, like what he's done, you know, over hurdles, he's shaped like the spring was when we're going to see the best of him. We get more experience. Henry de Bramhall has been keen to emphasise that he's going to improve with more runs. He's a hard horse to get fit. So maybe this is just like stepping into the Premier League here against a horse like Battle Over Doyen, who's already put away a 1:50 rated horse and has already won his graded chase. Whereas this fella will be trying to achieve a rare feat of winning a Grade 1 over hurdles and a Grade 1 over fences without having won a beginner's or a maiden hurdle. You know, that's a tough task. But for me, Battle Over Dying, he's the leading contender in the RSA behind Champ, and I hope he will take all the beating here.
Yeah, excellently summed up there, Mark. Some strong stayers in here, as you said, carefully selected. I think Ruby Walsh fancies him for what was the 4 miler, of course. So,
oh, apologies, I was calling it the 4 miler, 3 mile six or whatever. Sorry.
Yeah, not your fault at all. I'm definitely sort of making that. I don't make that mistake these days. And Champagne Classic as well. We know beating Discorama, that's a strong staying form. G Rod, I mean, would you be with Mark on Battle Over Doyen? He's looked pretty good so far, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, we've been really treated to some fantastic races in Ireland, haven't we? The big clashes, Fekidu Dairies and Lorena, obviously, eventually Notebook coming out on top of that, Forheen and Sam Crow. And as Mark's already said, I mean, there's no denying it. The majority of the best National One horses and prospects are in Ireland, trained in Ireland, and we've got them all lining up here, the staying chasers, Battle Over Doyen, Minella Indo, Champagne Classic. It's going to be a fantastic race. I mean, I just think Battle Over Doyen just looks like a prop horse. You know, as Mark says, he's a real big, imposing type. He looks like he's a type who's going to eat his fences up. He reminds me a bit of Denman, you know. He could be very special. But would you want to be taking short price? I think he's going to be fairly short against this lot. Minella Indo, the best hurdler of them. And quite a promising run, first time out behind Lorena.
Yep.
Over a trip that would have been shorter than ideal. And, of course, there was a lot of suggestions that we would probably need that run and come on for it. Now, obviously, Lorena disappointed last time yesterday, but that was back down at a shorter trip when a jumping probably found her out.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be reading too much into it. A really exciting race. I think Battle Over Doyen will win, but I don't want to take a very short price on him. If I was betting, I would probably take a chance on Champagne Classic, who has arguably got the best piece of form in the race on what we know with that Discorama form. Mm. I think that is very, very solid. And I don't think that he's going to be as well found in the market as his Giggenstown stablemate Battle Over Doyen. But I'm really excited to see the race. It's a cracker, and I hope we see a future star.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely agree with that. It's sure to have some impact on that Cheltenham Festival market. Another race which is going to have an impact on Cheltenham Festival is the 2:30. It's the Matheson Hurdle, Grade 1 over 2 miles. Again, no prices for this one just yet. But Classical Dream, an interesting horse, third in the Morgiana. He'll sort of be hoping to redeem his champion hurdle credentials. But he's also got to come up against Corsa Bleem, who won that WKD hurdle last time at Downroar really impressively. A few sort of sweet on him for the champion hurdle at a big price. And also the likes of Charger, Petit Mouchoir and Durasso, quite an interesting one. Mark, I mean, after we saw Epitant win the Christmas hurdle, are you sort of jumping ship with the Irish horses here, Classical Dream and Charger, or do you think they can put it up to her?
I really don't know where I stand with Classical Dream, to be honest, because I, you know, with all the talk before Chilton last year, there was that he was going Ballymore, then they seemed to pick the weaker option, which was the Supreme, and to be honest, the way the race is kind of working out, I kind of am beginning to, when you see what he did in the Morgiana, which was disappointing in terms of linking that form with Petit Mouchoir, I'm starting to look back at the Supreme and going, what did he achieve? Now, what he achieved has to be, you know, you have to rank it higher because of what he did at the start in terms of tanking his way and doing all he did, you know, which surely wouldn't have been efficient in terms of energy. He obviously has lots of ability, but I just don't know. I don't think he's the finished article. And I have question marks about a horse that's 6-5 that's coming in here off the back of a run like that. Obviously, we've no Saldier here to deal with, but I think Charger could be a little bit forgotten. And I'm willing to take a chance on him. Like with him, you only have to forgive one run like that. I know you're forgiving one run with Classical Dream, but Charger has been there and done that. He won this race comprehensively last year. I think he would have been placed in the champion hurdle if he stood up. Are you telling me he wouldn't beat Silver Streak if he hadn't, you know, if he ran his race? I think he surely would have, you know. And I don't know. I just think you can forgive that. He maybe, it was a nasty incident when he was brought down. Perhaps he needed the experience back after just to get him back right again. They were disappointed. They didn't think he'd be capable of better than that. For me, I'd take a chance on Charger with full respect to Corsa Bleem. You know, but again, he's stepping up in class again. He arrives here full of confidence. He could tank along here, and I just want to see him, you know, really quicken up off the bridle. That's what I love to see from him. And he could be, I do echo that sentiment in terms of champion hurdle value with a view to his price. But for me now, Classical Dream has it to prove that sort of price. I'm a little bit unconvinced.
That's really interesting then, because I think a lot of people are willing to forgive him on return at G-Rod. To me, he just strikes as a chaser really already, and he jumped his hurdles like that on reappearance. Were you really downhearted with his run in the Morgiana? The market suggested they thought he'd win.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. Very much like Mark, really. I don't want to be too hard on him because all of his best form last season came off a real good pace, and which he set himself a lot of the time, didn't he? Particularly at Cheltenham, where he was very impressive. And his times were very, very good and he looked the part. Mm-hmm. And that was might well have been a muddling race first time up at Punchdown. So I don't want to judge him too harshly on it. However, the market has him priced up as though that really didn't happen, as though he didn't disappoint first time up. I mean, if he came here with a bunch of ones by his name and hadn't disappointed first time up, I think he's going to be around even money. You know, he's going to be a short price. And I think he would have been that price anyway without that disappointing run first time out. And you have to sit there and say to yourself, do you want to back a horse that's going to likely be a short price who has just really, really been disappointing first time out for whatever reason? There are definitely potential excuses there.
Yeah.
But he's going to be priced short for one who's coming in off such a disappointing effort. And he needed to improve to win that race as well on bare form. And
yes.
You know, he didn't do it. So he makes the market. You have to take him on if you're betting in the race. And there's just a horse in here that I just think it could, I think the world of, we're going to see how good he is. Derasso.
Okay.
And I think it's really interesting that Joseph O'Brien's running him here.
Not the one most people would probably expect you to say that.
I was massively impressed with him last season when he won his final two starts. And it's strange because they run him over hurdles at Goran Park and he slammed Ford Meadow by 11 lengths. Then they switched him over the fences at Navan. And I thought he had an awful lot on. Turning for home. I mean, the front runners had gone sort of clear, and Barry Geraghty was just riding him as though he was riding Frankel. You know, he was sitting there, he was just as if he was on some sort of machine. He wasn't even worried, and Derasso just picked them off in the style of a very, very good horse. And I, at the start of the season, just had him down as one to follow. I just thought wherever this horse goes, whether it be hurdles, whether it be chasing, I want to be with Derasso because he looks like a star in the making. And why would you then go and stick him in this Grade 1 2 mile hurdle unless with Barry Geraghty on board? There's all they had a million options they could have put this horse in. They could have put him over fences. They could have put him over. He stays 2.5 miles. They could have gone 2.5 fences, 2.5 hurdles. I can only think they're running here because he's going well at home and they think that he could be a champion hurdle horse. And they've looked at the champion hurdle and said, there's nothing special in that race. We might be able to win it. I'm really excited by him and I'll be happy to take a chance on him.
Yeah, again, so really exciting, that G-Rod. It sounds like he's definitely caught your eye, that's for sure. Derasso, more to offer this season for sure. Can he exploit that division? Even now, Epitant's thrown her hat into the ring. We will find out at Leopardstown. And finally, the last race we're going to look at is at Limerick. It's the 145 Irish Independent Hurdler, Grade 3 over 2 miles. And Mark, some really good juveniles from last season engaged here. Syrian Gardens of Babylon, Soviet Pimpernel, etc. Willie Mullins has the highly regarded Franco Deport. What can you tell us about these? What do you make of them?
The last horse you mentioned is the one that I'm with, Franco Deport. He's just unexposed, and I suppose when he won in France in March, I think he won at Auteuil. He hammered Fred by 13 lengths, and that farmer has been shown in a good light, I suppose, on our shores. He beat Cage Boy and Six Shooter, albeit Six Shooter didn't handle the ground really at Gorn, just like the way he went about it. He's sure to improve from it. Just think some of these now, you know, you have a little bit of a question mark around them. Albeit now, Sirin looks a real improved performer this year, and you'd have to be very impressed by what she's done. But for me, I don't have a huge, huge opinion, but I just think Franco Deport is a nice horse. He's not a novice this season anymore because he was winning March in France. So this just looks a nice piece of placing from Willie Mullins and the team down there in Grade 3 company. So Franco Deport.
Okay, and yourself, G-Rod?
Yeah, I agree with Mark. I looked at the race and I tried to find a ways around it. I just looked at it and I just thought this Franco Deport looks like a potential Willie Mullins different class type.
Yeah.
Against a bunch of horses like Surin, yes, tough, genuine, quite a decent handicapper last season, wasn't he? But I don't know, I'm not sure he's top class. And I think that I remember Willie winning a race around here with Prava Laguna, the mare, and sort of similar colours, I think. And I just thought that Franco Deport would win that one. I just want to throw one other in because the one that I really like on that Limerick card is in the 110, the novice chase, Young Dev, trained by Dennis Hogan, and Damien Skian is riding claiming 7. I was impressed when this horse won at the course last time, over 2 mile, 1 furlong. That trip was definitely too short for him. I think you're going to see a much improved performance now. He's back up to 2 mile, 6.5 furlong. So that would be the best button on the card on Sunday at Limerick, 110. Young Dev.
Fantastic. And Mark, before we get your nap, anything else to mention at Limerick or on Sunday?
It's funny you mentioned Young Dev, because the horse that I fancy at Limerick is tied in with him, the Bally Boys, for me in the 255. He was going to win last year. He was going to have a big say last year, at least at Limerick, when he ran out of the last, and he was second to Young Dev on the 26th, and he turns out over hurdles of a similar sort of mark. Doesn't look the hottest race in the world, and I think he'll take a fair bit of beating. The Bally Boys for Ray Hackett, a very capable operator, especially if there's any market support for him. And then the other one at Leopardstown, the 12:45. I think Cobbler's Way is a really nice horse. I've been banging the drum about him since he won his bumper this time last year at Limerick. And for Henry de Bromhead to win a bumper, it wouldn't be the most common thing. He's more and more common, I suppose, this year, but he wouldn't be best known for readying them first him up. This fella just looks to have loads of natural ability. And he was second on hurdles debut to Andy Dufresne, and the third, even Alpine Cobra, has shown the form in a good light since. So I just think he's a really nice horse. Takes on a couple of good horses like the Big Getaway and Sempo, but just he could be very, very nice. Cobbler's Way in the 12:45 at Leopardstown.
Okay, very interesting. We could be here all day, couldn't we, talking about this festive period. It's absolutely fantastic. But I must get those naps from you now. Cue Steve Palmer.
This will not be beaten.
Mark, I'll give you the first shout. Who's your best bet?
Leopardstown, 2 o'clock in the Frank Ward Memorial Hurdle, Bacardi's.
Brilliant. And G-Rod?
2:25 at Newbury, Copperhead.
Fantastic. That's all we've got time for today, but I'll be back on Monday so we can get stuck into the review and have a look back on some memorable performances over Christmas. We'll see you soon.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.